Okay, we're going to take your phone calls now this hour as we talk about prophecy with John Hoag. So get ready to let your fingers do the walking. His website, hoagprophecy.com. And we shall be back with your calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. John Hoag with us. John, before we take some calls, tell me a little bit about your thoughts on Econapocalypse.
Well, that is basically one of my Hoagisms. I make up words.
And that get into the dictionary eventually.
Yes. It's basically trying to... We basically live in what I call a cold depression since 2008. That's, they call it the Great Recession, but really a lot of people are living in a state of economic depression. It's more like a kind of murky... like a cold war, like a cold depression that if something happens in Europe, if the Euro Union starts breaking up, or if the Chinese real estate bubble bursts, which I think it will by 2014, you have the danger of a cold depression going FDR hot, like the 1930s, with protectionism and reactions and all that. A lot of similar things would be kicked in again that happened in the 1930s. So the Econapocalypse is the what I would call such a thing if it were to go hot and then run out of control. I find it very interesting that Joseph Smith, one of the founders of the Church of Latter-day Saints, had a very interesting prophecy called the White Horse Prophecy. There has been some debate that it's not a true prophecy, although there's enough evidence showing that even though it was set down years after he said it in 1843, a year before he was martyred by in jail, it has a very... it talks about very much what's happening right now, and you have banks that no longer function. You have a government in the United States in that future time that cannot govern. It sounds very similar to some of the things we're entering right now. The Mormons have a very interesting take on the next civil war. Whether it's Brigham Young or Joseph Smith, they tend to look at it as a breakdown of social order, where it's no North versus South, but a complete kind of... they talk in a lot of terms, the Mormon prophets talk about a sustainability collapse.
I call it the haves and the have-nots, John.
Well, yes, and that's also the big struggle that's happening. There is a great division of wealth that, when these things happen before, do create revolutions. For instance, we have the same Neptune transit into Pisces that last time it happened. They had something called the European Spring, which was a wave of revolutions that came out of France all across Western Europe in 1849. And a lot of it was like what happened in the Middle East in 2011 when Neptune dipped a little into Pisces before it really entered in February for a very long transit until 2026. You had an Arab Spring that also seems to have had false starts in a lot of countries, just like what happened in Europe. But 10 years later, 10, 15 years later, a lot of what was seeded in Europe really exploded into major revolutions and new political systems. So it could very well be history is repeating itself again. By the time the transit of Neptune is finished in the 2020s, in the mid-2020s, you will see some major revolutionary changes in the world politically.
Let's go to the phones now. Tim is in Phoenix, west of the Rockies. Hey, Tim, you're on with John Hoag.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Tim.
Hi. Hey, John, I wanted to first say, with all great respect, you're one of my favorite guests. You're incredibly articulate and so forth. I happen to believe that there really is something to Nostradamus. And I think listed just under UFOs, that would be a subject for extreme interest in disinforming the populace about his work. And I don't want to say that you are a disinformation agent, but there are other books that have come out by true scholars from Oxford and Harvard scholars. And I looked at some of this stuff, and it just seemed like they had all the earmarks of disinformation. For instance, Erica Cheatham, she said a man would come from the aquatic triplicity. I'm from the aquatic triplicity. My sun is in Cancer, my rising is Scorpio, and my moon is Pisces. So I'm looking for something like that. And she identifies these three water signs as Aquarius, Aries, and Scorpio. She's from Oxford. How could she get two out of three wrong?
Well, Erica Cheatham, a lot of people who got into Nostradamus in the 70s and a little into the 80s usually had a run-in with the books of Erica Cheatham. She's since passed away in the early 90s. She had some original insights, but her translations were very strange. Sometimes they were spot on. She was very erratic, although there were some of the things that she did, being the first woman to get published doing Nostradamus, which I felt as a man looking at it, she sometimes would look at a thing in a more feminine attitude. But then again, exactly, she obviously went off on a tangent astrologically, thinking that a water sign is the water bearer, who is the symbol of Aquarius. But the water bearer is actually pouring out the air sign out of it. This is all esoteric stuff. But you know, she misread that really bad. And there were some really embarrassing things that she put out. I think it's more just scholarly sloppiness rather than a conspiracy to misinformation. I mean, ultimately, when we're sloppy in our work, we are serving misinformation.
All right, thank you for that, John. Debbie in Austin, Texas, one of our favorite spots. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Hello, George, and hello, Mr. Hoag.
Hi, Debbie.
George, I've been listening since Art Bell, so love your show.
You go way back. Now, you're one of the reasons why we've got close to a 50 share in Austin.
I'm not surprised, and I tell everyone about it, too.
Thank you.
Mr. Hoag, I don't know if your research and studies covers earth changes, but I've been having this feeling of moving out of Central Texas. It's getting so hot here, and I wanted to go north like New Mexico, Colorado, but now we have a drought in half of the U.S., including those states, and I'm just wondering if you have any predictions regarding earth changes in the U.S., because I'm trying to figure out a place that might be better suited if you're going to be trying to have a garden and, you know, live off the land and get away from the cities.
Well, there's two things. Certainly, I do, in my 19 books over the years, 10 are in print and paper, and 9 are in electronics. Since 2003, Earth changes is one of the major themes of prophecy. I look at all of that and make earthquake predictions and issues like that. Would say that generally you're looking with global warming at all central continental areas becoming drier and drier. The grain belts that you see north of you, Texas is getting drier. People are selling off their herds to slaughter, and it was a terrible drought last year in Texas. This is the new abnormal. I don't call it the new normal. That's misinformation. I call it the new abnormal. And what you're going to see is greater flooding in the continental edges near the oceans that will be matched by the extremes of drought in central continental regions. So if we do not get our climate change under control, central parts of all the continents are going to dry out. You're going to see more mega fires and things that we need to stop. Now, the earth change thing that really intrigues me, which I hope I'm wrong on, is this thing that's been coming up about August of 2017, there is going to be a total eclipse that's going to go across the United States, coming in from central North Oregon coast. It'll cross over Missouri and Tennessee and go out Charleston. What I find intriguing about earthquakes and how they're related to eclipses, it often happens that over the shadow of an eclipse, within 18 months in the period after the shadow has passed over a region, there are major quakes. There seems to be a pattern there. And when you have an eclipse that's going to come over the subduction zone region of the Cascadian area, pass exactly at its fullest shadow of eclipse, exactly over the New Madrid fault line in Missouri and Mississippi region, and then go out of the United States over the one major seismic area on the East Coast, the Charleston region of the Carolinas, it just makes me think that one or all three of those may see some major seismic activity, which any one of them, especially if it was the subduction zone where I live in the Northwest, or the New Madrid fault line having anything similar to the kind of two quakes that it had in 1812 with 7 to 8 magnitude, would be catastrophic for the country. So hopefully that's not going to happen. But there's a general tenor of prophecy that shows that the United States is going to have a lot of natural disasters as some kind of answer to us karmically being the New Atlanteans. As Ruth Montgomery, Casey, and others used to say that a lot of Atlanteans, I don't know if this is true or not, but this is in the prophetic mythology, and mythology sometimes is higher than fact because it deals with essential things, that the karma of people on this country is that they used to belong to the great Atlantean civilization, which was quite advanced, but it also lost its way, got out of balance with its technologies, got out of balance with nature, and destroyed itself. And one terrible night, the entire island continent disappeared. A lot of people in the New Age movement and prophecy circles and New Age prophecy traditions believe that America is inhabited by many reincarnates of that time who need to learn the same lesson again. Although I would say, looking at the pollution that's happening in India and China, that there must be a lot of Atlanteans there too. But since this was focused on two American prophets, Ruth Montgomery and Edgar Casey, it has an American bias, I suppose.
Okay, now we go to more phones. Christian is in Los Angeles. Hi, Christian, go ahead.
Hi, guys. I'm really pleased that I actually got in. I'm surprised.
I'm glad you did.
Good evening. I have a question for Hogan. That is that I actually have on VHS the old, when Orson Welles did that TV special for 2 hours on Nostradamus.
The Man Who Saw Tomorrow.
Yeah, that's always, I don't know how accurate that is, but it's always fun. What do you feel about that?
It's the best documentary ever done on Nostradamus.
That's because you were the consultant, right?
No, this is before I even wrote my first book, but I did see it in 1982 when it came out. And ever since I've been a kid, I've always been a big fan of movies and things that Orson Welles did. I see that as the litmus test of any good Nostradamus documentary, because what they did in that is they were able to use a lot of footage of interesting historical footage and stuff from movies, but really had a good choice of what they picked. Of showing, walking you through about 100 of Nostradamus's greatest prophecies from the time he wrote them up into our modern times and then into the near future. And in 1982, they were looking beyond 1999. And one of the most important points about that documentary is that they pinpointed that the emergence of the third Antichrist would happen after 1999, not before. And for a lot of the time, I disagreed with that until as it approached more and more towards that time, I went on the record saying I retract what I'm saying in some of my books about this. I think that documentary had it right. 1999 is the beginning of the War of the Antichrist, not the end. So a marvelous thing, documentary. I'm I'm right now involved in 5 documentaries that are going to come out in the latter half of this year and a little bit into the next year. And someday I hope to produce something that would be an honest answer and a transcendence of Orson Welles' classic, The Man Who Saw Tomorrow.
Well, probably if you touched it, John, it would probably work.
Perhaps.
Let's go.
I look a little like Orson Welles, so I...
Yes, you do.
In fact, I'm going to play... I may play Orson Welles in a spoof in a local theater show here.
Let's go to Parson, Kansas. Erlene, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, George, you are always so... give out the newest information on everything when nobody else does, and I have been listening for 3 months since I found these 2 things out, and it's not been mentioned, so I'm going to try to tell you.
All right.
As of February of 13th, Social Security will no longer mail checks. It either has to go into direct deposit, or if you don't do that, you can put it in a bank or you can put it in a credit union. Credit unions are better than banks. They will send you a debit card through the mail with your Social Security amount on it, and it will cost you $2.50 every time you get into your account.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Every time you swipe that debit card.
Tragic sign of the time.
And the bank that is going to be used is going to be run by the government.
Yep.
And look what they're doing to the post office. Look at all the mail they're taking away from the post office.
Oh, I know.
And they don't want any paper money running around. That's what it is. Now, the other thing is, Harper, Kansas, you can pull this up on your computer. It's a little town of 1,500 people. It is booming with oil. They've hit 3 new wells. They've reopened the fields. They've hired 8,000 people. A 2-bedroom house rents for $5,000 a month over there.
Wow.
And all the people down in this part, all the men went there because it's just right out of I-35 off of Wellington, Kansas. You can pull up Harper, Kansas on the computer.
Okay.
And they're hiring over the computer. They're telling them to bring shelter, whatever they can. There's that town that has a post office, a cafe, and a drugstore.
They're going to have to build stuff, huh?
Well, that's what they're telling. And people are going in there and starting to do that. They've really hit it. Why aren't we aware of this?
Well,
why doesn't the federal government tell this?
That is
well, it's not just the federal government. It is a corporate media that there are many, many things going on in the world that, I mean, CNN wonders why it's lost half of its audience. Well, they've lost it to internet. They've lost it to the real news is online. Now, unfortunately, there's also a lot of weird stuff online.
And they've lost touch with people, John.
Yeah, and the corporatization that happened to popular music in the 90s is now encroached completely into CNN and a lot of the other news agencies. And now you have to, as a citizen, find the news yourself. You have to be your own reporter. It's unfortunate, but that's
the way
it is.
Hold on, Jim. We're coming back for more on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, we've got a split program for you and a dandy. We're going to talk about rainy brainy, sunny brain. Get ready for that. And also, we're going to talk about your genetic code, a science show with that Coast to Coast twist. That'll be our next Coast to Coast show. When we come back in a moment, final phone calls with John Hogue on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, John Hogue, tell us, how does the ebook work for you? Do you put it on Amazon.com? Your website, and then how do people download it?
Well, they can you purchase it at hogueprophecy.com, and it is they're made to be used by any delivery system, Nook, you know, any of the Amazon Kindles, but at the moment you can buy them at my website.
That's
when you just directly download, what happens is. You simply buy it through PayPal, and then it's you just automatically get the – once you've paid, you instantly can click on a link, and it would be downloaded into your system as a PDF file.
It's amazing now what's going on in the world of books and everything else, isn't it?
It's a revolution, absolute revolution. The revolution's not happening in the 2020s. It's already happening for anybody who's involved in communication media. It's a new day every day, and things continually change. So, yeah.
All right, let's take Final calls. We'll go to Huntington Beach. Joe's with us. Hi, Joe. Go ahead.
Oh, it's me. Oh, hi. I was wondering, with the Antichrist prophecies, if, since the other men mentioned, like Hitler and Napoleon, were human, is the Antichrist, according to Nostradamus, supposed to be supernatural or human? Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, Joe, he's a human being, and interestingly enough, there are four main figures in contemporary times that see their names decode into MABUS, the name Nostradamus gives for the third Antichrist. If you properly use phonetics by taking Roman letters to spell out Arabic, you have Usama bin Laden. Usama is MAAU, and that is, if you spell out, it's like MAAUS, mouse. Now, you take one redundant letter out and replace the missing letter, which is the rule of the anagram, you get Mabus. If you take Saddam Hussein, and if you reverse what's called mirror imaging, it becomes MADDAS, Madas. Reverse lettering gets MABBAS, drop the redundant B, and you can always replace one new letter to fit the to finish the puzzle. It's Mabus. If you look at G.W. Bush, in lowercase, the G and the W turned over 90 degrees and flipped around becomes M-A, in lowercase, M-A, Bush. Drop the one redundant letter, and it's Mabus. And if you look at the proper phonetics of Obama, which is more O-U or U-B-A-M-A, you get M-A-A-B-U. Drop the redundant A, replace it with the missing S, Mabus. So it goes across the spectrum of pro and anti-Western candidates. But the one who's actually fulfilled most of the clear milestones given by Nostradamus is actually Saddam Hussein. Even in the 27-year war and the comet passing that I talked about a few hours ago, Saddam Hussein, when he became president of Iraq, was in perpetual warfare either with the Kurds or the Shia.
Or the Iranians.
Or the Iranians or the coalition forces of the Persian Gulf War. Right. And when he was overthrown, he was in jail during the worst years of the sectarian violence that overtook Iraq during the U.S. occupation. The day he died was when a comet appeared in the sky, and that became Comet McNaught, which became one of the brightest, most beautiful comets ever seen in 60 years. From the time of his becoming president to the time of his death was 27 years.
Why don't these guys take the deals, John? Gaddafi, Saddam, they're all offered the ability to flee and go. Why don't they do that? Instead, they stay and die.
Well, because they, whether one likes them or not, they believe in what they're, it's like Hitler. They believed in what he was doing to the very end. I mean, I imagine what their kind of, I'm going to be my way and go down, take the world with me attitude. If you look at what Hitler said in the speech he made before the Reichstag when he started World War II, he said, I've now adopted the olive field gray, coat of the German army, and I will either have total victory or I will die in this coat. He meant it. Saddam Hussein also, if you watched him in his execution, you might not like the man. He was a bastard. Excuse me, but it's late.
You can get away with that.
Oh, good. That's not so bad. He faced his death with some guts. Just because you're a mass murderer and a crazy dictator doesn't mean that you don't have integrity in what you believe in. I mean, there's a statement in prophecy that deal with the coming of the Kali Yuga, which is a period where material people will be overtaxed. They'll only be focusing on their material values and not their spiritual values. And in that, they say in that period of time, and even, you know, not only don't bad people have integrity, because in the ancient times, even bad people had integrity. I mean, you kind of know where you stood with Saddam Hussein. There's a certain evil integrity about that. But in our times, the Hindu prophecies say even the good people don't have integrity, which is meaning it's an end of a cycle, and then after that cycle is over, you have a new golden age and it starts all over again. We seem to be at that point of rebooting.
Okay, let's go now to Emma in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Emma.
Hi.
Yeah,
I wanted to thank you first, George, because I just kind of started researching some symptoms that my dog's having. It seems strange, but they've been continuous. And I just kind of realized that my dog has Lyme disease. And then I heard your Cedarside commercial, and I thought that was awesome. It was like a sign. Thank you. That was cool. And I'm sorry, I don't know the guest's name. What's your name?
John Hope.
John.
Hi, John. There are so many things like running through my mind right now about this, but I understand universal forces are acting on us, like big, strong, unbelievable forces, and they act on everybody's existence all the time. But prophecies fall of such, like, negative, hopeless, fearful times to come. And if we are, which I truly believe, and I know firsthand, which is the only thing I do believe, that like people are capable of choosing their own destiny. Like we collectively could choose a different outcome.
Yes.
And it would just have to be a large cooperation. So what is the point of, and I'm not saying you are, I'm not trying to attack you, but why do we focus on such, focus on these terrible, terrible words of prophecy? You know, yeah. I could be one, a prophet also, but it's such a negative thing to focus on when we could all just collectively go with this vibrational change. And
I get your point. And it is an important question to ask. I mean, on my website right now, and I invite you and everybody to come look at it. When I did a thing on the Batman massacres and the things that had happened, the meltdown of Greenland, there was a reader named Sarah who really took me to task about, you know, don't you give positive solutions to a lot of this dire stuff? I mean, it just seems like you're just going into a realm of negativity, and do you provide alternatives? What commonly happens with that is it's understandable that a lot of people come in, they're emotionally pulled to what I write about. They read a few lines, they read an article or two, and often people just draw conclusions that, oh, well, this is who you are, not knowing that, you know, there's hundreds of articles there that have written 19 books. But be that as it may, I felt like it was important to list chapter and verse links to all the things I've done over the years, which have provided detailed alternatives, not only just solutions that are coming to me, but actually prophecies that show the other way you can go. For instance, the Millennium Book of Prophecy, which I produced in 1994, and was the reason that I did my first Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell way back in 94, is a book that looks at roughly 777 predictions. First half of the book, I argue how doomsday is unavoidable, and many of the same prophets in the second half actually show how it is avoidable. So the thing that one must first embrace and encounter is that one of the reasons why the future echoes a very negative future out of our actions in the present is that our actions in the present are not conscious, they're not loving, sometimes it's very negative to deny negativity. When, you know, you can deny a fire is going on in your house and pretend, close your eyes and pretend it isn't there, But at a certain point when it starts burning you, you have to encounter the fire, understand how it got started, and fix the problem. And I wish that I could be speaking more on positive matters, but I try in the show, try in my books to, when I scare you with what I'm saying, I try to explain why it's happening with the hope that you can take that individually and transform your part in making the future a little less dire. And if enough individuals do that, I think it will eventually affect change. But we have to encounter what's in the way and not pretend or cancel it out or get airy-fairy about this. The house of the planet is on fire. No time to get airy-fairy about it. We have to fix it.
Yes, we do. Let's go to Francis, Queen Creek, Arizona. Hi, Francis.
Good evening, gentlemen. This is a first-time caller, first-time listener. I'm absolutely fascinated. I'm going to go to his website.
Super.
I'm interested in what he might think about the retrograde Mercury that turns on November 6th for the presidential election and what the outcome might be.
Well, that is the subject of one of the last chapters of predictions for 2012. I have an entire chapter about that day and the astrology that's going on. It's the first time since the year 2000 that we've had a retrograde Mercury passing through the election cycle. And we all remember what happened in 2000 with the snafu and ballots and dangling chance of people looking in Florida for who won Florida and whoever won Florida would win the presidency. Al Gore won 500,000 more popular votes than George W. Bush, but he won in the count maneuvers and became president. So we have a new retrograde taking place on the election day, around election day, although it's a little different this time. And it could very well be that the tables are turned, and it could be that Mitt Romney is denied his presidency rather than the other way around. Although, you know, it's complicated and this late in the show, I just would have to say just read the chapter in that book because it's quite fascinating what could happen. But I do think that in the end, the astrology is in the favor of Barack Obama being president of the United States for a second term. Although Mitt Romney has a very powerful karmic aspect with the natal sign of the United States. So of all the people that were running in the Republican side, I did predict back at the end of last year that Romney would end up being the candidate because of looking at his astrology. But I just don't think he's got the... the problem with this... this election that's coming is we've got, it's going to be the most irrational election that I've ever seen in my life. Looking at the astrology, literally people are not going to vote from reason. They're not going to vote from record. They're going to vote from likability. And the two factors, likability, Obama's got the advantage, and the secret vote that's going to beat Romney is he's got the Latino vote. And that could even see him carry Arizona.
Well, that's a good analogy, John. I might have you up there with me on election night.
Yes, that could be interesting, or the night before.
Yeah. Let's go to James in Monrovia, California. Go ahead, James.
Hey, John. It's James in Monrovia. It's been a long time.
Hey, James.
Hi. In 1973, I was gifted with, actually, it felt like being projected into the future and experiencing what I've always called the new earth and the people that were living in this place were all highly conscious and very aware of each other's uniqueness and sacredness. And it seemed like that was, even though I only saw a small mandala of people, it felt like that was the entire planet had those types of people on it, and it's always given me hope against negative projections and imminent difficulties that are going on in the planet. It sounds like you're in your personal awareness also aware that that's a real ideal and a real possibility.
Absolutely.
I wondered if Nostradamus also mentions this a time of peace. I guess the Bible's prophecy also talks about a great time of peace.
Well, to be brief, because we're running out of time, yes, and actually there's an astrological aspect that even in these times that there's a Mars-Jupiter conjunction that can also play towards a new person or a new Messiah coming into the world, which will bring peace for a long time. And remember, he's got history going for another 1,800 years, so we will get through this. But he does indicate that there's a whole lot of history after our troubled times. So it's just a rebooting of an age, and often things get a little crazy when that happens.
John, thanks again, my friend. Let's stay in touch. Let me know when the new books are ready, okay?
I will.
John Hogue, HogueProphecy.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Timothy Banal, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.